Jesus, Lamb, hide me in your holy mess. Oh, hide me in your holy mess. Oh, hide me.
Lord, worthy to enter into your presence, except by the grace that you've given us through the blood of your Son, Lord, and in faith in his saving sacrifice and nothing more, do we come here tonight asking you that you would speak to us, that you'd help us to draw closer to you, that you'd show something of yourself to us, even through such poor lips as mine and such poor ears as ours. Lord, may we find some nugget of truth in your word that would help us in this dark time draw closer to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. While you're still standing, I have a scripture reading, and it's kind of unusual. It's Romans chapter 16. Thank you, musicians. And we're just going to start from verse 5. Now, I do a Bible study on Fridays, and God bless her. Sister Lenore is a tremendous help to me in pronouncing the names correctly, because she has a pronunciation guide, and I'm not very good with this. So if I make mistakes, well, that's why you got your Bibles. You'll kind of know the names I'm reading if I do make mistakes. But we just want to read this and try and see if we can't draw some lessons from it. It says, verse 6, greet Mary. God bless you, Sister Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junian, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Statues, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Salute them that be of the house of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philogius and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints that are with them. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Yeah. You may be seated, and I'm sure when we get to heaven, we'll meet these people, and they say, that's not quite how you say my name, but it's okay. And we look at this and we think, wow, that every one of these people has a story. Every one of these people has a journey in the Lord that they undertook that we hardly know anything about, except that the Lord was pleased enough that he put them and memorialized them in his Bible. And may our names also be memorialized before God in some way. And we believe that. We believe that's the Lamb's Book of Life and is written. You know, I want to speak this evening on the subject of one step closer. One step closer. I spoke a while back on, you know, the next thing that God wants us to do. What is the focus of God's ministry in our lives? But now I want to take that same thought and say, what should we be doing for others? And what we should be doing for others is trying to bring them one step closer to God in some way. One step closer to God. And so we're going to start this in Luke chapter 17. Just to give this whole thing a context. And we've read this, increase our faith, but just verse 10, it says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. And so everything that I'm going to talk about should be nothing special to us. It should be just, that's our duty to do. We don't thank people the way they should be thanked for the simple things that they do. When was the last time any of us came up to Brother Peter and Sister Charity and were like, God bless you. Thank you so very much. You opened the church. You turned all the lights on. You poured the little cups of water and you put them in the right places. You made sure that the area was tidy. You made sure it was safe for us to come in. You made sure it was unlocked. Thank you very much. And genuinely, we should be thanking them. But I don't think I've ever I don't think I've ever thanked you for exactly for that, have I? And I'm sure both of them are like, wow, it's nothing. We live close by and you know, we don't have the obligations that some of the families have, and it's just a pleasure to be in service, and it's nothing special to us. I'm assuming that would be your answer. Something like that. And that's what I'm talking about, that there are so many things that pass by us in our lives and we don't appreciate them the way they are, but to that person or to us, it's like, well, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. It's easy for me. I'm pleased to do it. I don't want to be made a hero for doing the simple things that I can do to help. And I think that's what we want to contextualize all of this, that when we're looking to help and to bring people one step closer to the Lord, we shouldn't be looking at it and saying, oh my, I brought somebody into God. Oh my, I saved them from the lost and the darkness. Oh, I did this, I did this, I did this. It's like, okay, did you do it? Or is it, you know, well, I just happened to be there and God worked and really nothing to do with me. And so everything that we're going to talk about, we need to have that attitude that the biggest thing that we can do for God is just to say, it wasn't anything. I would just happen to be there while God was working. All right? So as we go out, we shouldn't be looking to be the person to bring people to God. But we should be bringing people to God without, you know, being like, if I'm going to bring someone to Jesus today. Do you see what I'm saying? All right? So let's look. Because God, I love the series on the seven seals. And it starts out with this God hiding himself in simplicity. Okay? And the whole seven seals is based on that. And the whole, everything that we should do should be based on that God hiding himself in simplicity. And to me, I take from that, listen, folks, if it isn't simple to you, it isn't God to you. Okay? And so, if you don't understand something, That's fine. God hasn't given it to you to understand yet. Doesn't mean that you're lost or that you need that. In order to be saved or to go in the rapture, God will give you what you need. It's simple things. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 28. And again, scriptures that we know. Verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? To them that are weaned from the breast, weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, then there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. And so the word of God in there has two effects. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. It's simple things. It's just building simple things, just like a baby grows and you don't notice it from day to day. But suddenly, well, you know, normally when I sit with the family, I sit at one end and I'm looking after the kids. This evening, it was my pleasure to sit between Emma and Elisha because each of them are looking after one of the kids. And, to hear them sing, one on each side of me. And, you know, we were singing a song and I was trying to go low and Elisha was just naturally lower than me. And it just sounded so nice. And Emma, she's got that sweet voice and I'm sitting there between the two of them. And it's like, wow, this is just amazing. And I wonder if we can develop the way God wants us to develop. You know, Emma's a better singer than I am. Elisha's a better singer than I am. It's like, wow, this is just something really nice for me. And could we develop as Christians, just line upon line, precept upon precept, in a way that would bring that same sense of pleasure to God? Wouldn't that be nice? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I can say that about Elisha. Not that he's this, you know, in the same way as Jesus. But to me, there's an element of godliness in him and an element of pleasure that I can see. You know, I told him a long time ago, listen, if you take my worst habits and your mother's worst habits, you will be the worst person. But if you can take my good habits and your mother's good habits, you'll become better than both of us. And that's my hope and that's what they have some of my bad habits and some of my good habits. You know, that's the way it is. But God wants to bring us line upon line to a place where we are, well, as good as him, if you like. We'll say that, as good as him. The perfection of God made manifest in us. But then there's another, for those who will not hear that simple line upon line, line upon line. Well, the word of God is given in such a simple way that if you miss it, you stumble because you're willfully blind, because you're willfully holding on to something that isn't the truth. Now, and we see that today in this trend towards men can be women and women can be men, and people believe it and people evangelize it with a religious fervor. And you can't say anything to them. And why not? Because it's they're willfully blind to this reality. Okay? But the word of God is simple, line upon line. That's how it is to us, building us into the character of God. And how does he build us in our lives? Well, this is the end result. Matthew 5. And it says, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And so there's a perfection for us, but I've got my Amplified Bible with me today because I read it in my Amplified Bible and it just gives a nice understanding. It says, you therefore must be perfect. And then in brackets to give the understanding, growing into a complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity as your Father, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Isn't that wonderful? Be perfect, grow into, and so many times, and in my life I fail so many times, but trust the Lord, I can grow into a perfection that God has for me. And done little by little, feeding on the Word of God as we're able to abide, as we're able to overcome. And God works on us one thing at a time and brings those things to our attention and calls us to overcome one more thing in our life. But he also causes us to witness to others in the world. And he says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive power and you will be my witnesses in the nations. And what God has done in us, he calls us to do for others. Okay. I'll just read that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And it's really powerful because you can take it in so many places. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. So God lets us fall into trouble. God lets us go through these situations so he can show us how he can help us. So we can take that and we can bring it to other people and help other people. And the goal is, I was talking to a brother and he said, well, I haven't brought anyone to the message. You know, it's like, oh, that's interesting. You know? But should our goal be to bring people to the message? Well, I'm not saying no, that isn't. But we don't know where we meet somebody in their walk with God. What line God is putting on top of another line. What precept he's putting on top of a precept. And so I believe our goal should be now not to bring people to the message, not to bring people to Jesus, not to convert them and take them to the river and have them baptized. Our goal should be to bring them one step closer to God. Just one step. And if we can live our lives in a way that brings people one step closer to God, then we can be an effective tool. Now that one step might be an acceptance of the message. That one step might be baptism in Jesus' name. That one step might be a prayer of repentance and bring them to the Lord. It might be one of those, call it signal moments that we can all point at. But it might not be. Okay? Let's focus on bringing people one step closer to God. Let's have a look at a few examples. 2 Kings. And you know where I'm going with this probably. Chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the hosts of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, but he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. One step closer to God. It's not, would God that he was a son of Abraham. Would God that you followed the one and true God. It's like, if you could get to God, your problems would be solved. Your life would be easier. Okay? And so her focus wasn't on saying, you know, you're lost or you're saved. Her focus was on, how can I make your life easier by bringing you into contact with God? What can I do for you? You know? And so we should have that. Her name's not even mentioned in the scriptures. And there's only a couple of little verses. Let's see, there's three verses. Verse 2, 3, and 4. Of that whole story is about the little maid. Who said, and then someone said, this is what the maid said. One step closer to God. So interesting. No. Can we have an open heart to see people wherever they are and say, you know, if you were in contact with God a little bit better, your life would be better. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, and it's so interesting to her, what did she see? I don't know. What did the king of Syria see? It's such an interesting story because Naaman was converted in after a manner. And he said to Elisha, permit me to take a couple of sacks of soil with me so I can have some of the land of Israel to worship the God of Israel. Because at the time they believed the gods were associated with the geographical areas. Okay? You remember, I don't remember, it might have been the Syrians or the Assyrians, they were defeated. And they said, well, this is because their gods are the gods of the mountains. Let's get another army and go meet them on the plains. Okay? So you see there's that association with the territory and the God. So that's why Naaman says, I want a connection with the God of Israel. Let me bring some bags. Okay? And forgive me, because I'm going to go, I'm the king's right-hand man, and when he goes to worship, he leans on my arm, and I take him into the temple, and I bow down to the God when he bows down to the God. All right? You know what Elisha said to him? Nope, can't do that. You got to worship Jehovah now. You got to stay out of those temples, and you got to stay in Israel, and you got to stop fighting Israelites, and you got to. He didn't say that. He said, "Go in peace." Why? Because he knew he'd brought him one step closer to God, and it's not his responsibility to watch over the heart of that person, of Naaman. And to guide him and to say, you have to take this step and this step and this step and this step. It's like, I got you closer to God. You know how to get one step closer to God. It's up to you from here on. God will guide you. God will direct you. I put you in God's hands. Go in peace. You know God. He will show you what to do. Philip. So as we said, would see Jesus. And so he brought them to Jesus. That's all we know about that story. And Jesus, a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die and so on. But it's interesting there. Can we see ourselves as the little maid? There's not much written about Philip in the Bible. Except they brought some Greeks to Jesus. He's not a Peter. He's not a Paul. Not Moses. But can we see ourselves as, like I said, as the servants, not as the hero of the story. As someone who is put on this earth not to manifest something, but to help others manifest something. Not to be the person that God uses, but to be the person that brings people one step closer to God so God can use them. Not to be the person that brings God's salvation onto the scene, but the person that brings people that one step closer to God so he can save them. Let's turn to Luke. If I can read my handwriting, I need to know if I put 16 or 14 there. It's one of the two. I'll tell you in a moment. Yeah, Luke 14. From verse 15, when one of them, you know this story, but let's look at this parable. When one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he saith unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with one consent began to make excuse. See, simple, line upon line. Just come to the supper. Oh, I'm too busy. The first one said to him, I've brought a piece of land. I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his master these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to a servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor, and the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that thou my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of the men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So can we put ourselves in that servant role to say, all we're doing is trying to fill the places at the supper. Come in. Okay? Not to worry about their condition or to make judgments. It's just God has told us to go out into the highways and byways. God has told us to go out to the poor and maimed. And it's not for us. It's not for us to bring people to salvation. It's for us to bring people one step closer to God. And wherever they go, once we brought them one step closer to God, wherever they go from there, that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to bring people one step closer to God. Because that story continues. And again, you look at these stories, and if we turn over to Matthew chapter 22, we'll see these things written there. And these are stories that, my guess is, Jesus told them many times. They're recorded a few times in different temples, different gospels, at different places. Okay, but my guess is that these are different parables that Jesus told many times, trying to illustrate his points. Okay, and so you find different details in different parts of the Bible. As when you tell a story, you usually tell it slightly different every way, but the underlying point the story is still the same. And so this one, the underline, the kingdom of heaven, it was a marriage for his son, and he sent out, and people say, well, I've had my oxen, and so on and so on. But at the end of this one, verse 10, says, so the servant went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. See? And so it's not our responsibility to make sure everybody's looks right and dresses right and has their hair cut right and has their, you know, Sunday best on before we let them come into church, before we say you can get another step closer to God. All we are trying to do is say, get one step closer to God. Here's how you can get one step closer to God. Okay? Here's what you can do to get one step closer to God. And maybe we're not even talking to them, but maybe we're just a silent witness to them of saying, there's a peace here that can be had, and I'm a Christian. No, and you don't have to actually say anything, you don't have to push anything. And I always detested the idea of salespeople, you know, and how I turn out to be. But really what it is, it's that there's an idea of a good salesperson is somebody who can use their words to manipulate you into buying what they're trying to sell you. Okay? And we all have that stereotype. We all have that image. And it's not our job to sell the gospel. It's not our job to manipulate people by our words to getting one step closer to God. So I started selling people carpet cleaning. That's where I started selling things. And I was quite good at it. And this is what I found, is what you do is you tell people what you have. You tell them what it's going to cost. And you don't really try and influence them to either sell or to get it or not to get it. You just say, this is what it is. This is the quality it is. This is what it will cost you. And I think you'll benefit from it. And if you're sincere and if you're trustworthy, people will buy from you because you are giving them a good, honest product, right, Josh? You know? You have to be a salesman too now, don't you? Not just a carpenter. So. But it's about having something genuine behind what you're offering and offering it to people in an honest and forthright way. And of course that's open to manipulation, but let's not try and manipulate people into the gospel, but let's openly, honestly, in a forthright way, offer them God. And say, yeah, it'll cost you, but I think the benefits are worth far more. And just leave it at that. Just let people see what you have. Offer to get them one step closer to God. And really what it's about, it's not about being the person who makes the big conversion. It's just about being, I'm just a servant. I'm just here to do this and then go on my way. Take it or leave it. I wish you'd take it. I wish you'd come to the feast. I wish you'd put on the wedding garment because it's there for you. But it's not for me to decide for you what you're going to do. But I want to get you one step closer to God. Matthew 13 says a similar thing. Going into that Matthew specific phrase, and I didn't know that until you mentioned it. It's wonderful, the little treasures God drops into our hearts. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathereth of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What are we doing to fill the net? What are we doing to bring people one step closer to God? Because it's not hard to do. It's not that God has called us to go out with sword and shield or to go out. It's God has called us to operate as he operates, line upon line, precept upon precept, in simple things, in things God has told you to do that you can do. No? It may take a step of faith to do it, a step of confidence to do it, to say, I should do this. I mean, all of us could leave our homes today and go to Mexico. Well, maybe not all of us. If you don't have a passport, you can't. But, you know, all of us could leave our homes today and go somewhere else in the country. If God told us, I don't know, someone tell me a strange, peculiar place in America. Well, all of it's strange and peculiar, but, you know, we'll take Brother Tim, for example. Okay? Go to Wahpeton, North Dakota. Old man of Kenya. I mean, it's like, okay. Now, I know there are students there now, but I don't know how many Kenyans were living in North Dakota. You go up there, and it's a pretty white town. I don't even know how many Latinos are up there. But it's go there. Like, okay, I can do that. All of us could do that. If the Lord said, move to Wahpeton. All right. We could do that. Could sell your business, Josh, and you could move. You wouldn't know what you'd be doing. But it's not a hard thing to do. But it is a hard thing to do. You understand what I mean? God is not calling us to do impossible things. He's just calling us to do simple things. Like Mark, let's have a look at Mark chapter 9, just to give you an example of the kind of thing that I'm thinking of, to move people one step closer to God. For whosoever shall give, the verse 41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. You see? It may be giving someone a cup of water. It may be accepting a cup of water from somebody when you're thirsty. That can draw people one step closer to God. It doesn't have to be a big step. It may be a tiny step. But still, it's a step closer to God. You may not even know it's a step closer to God. All right? But come with that idea of saying, God is working on me little by little, improving me little by little, showing me how terrible I am little by little, letting his spirit flow through me, little by little, overcoming the flesh. And so if I can take that and give somebody just a little step closer to God, then that's a win. That's a victory. Not a victory where we dance around and say, hey, look at me. I brought someone one step closer to God. But it's I brought someone one step closer to God. Man, that's all I did today. Yeah? I just opened up the church and turned the lights on. That's all I did. It's nothing special. But if we can bring people one step closer to God and not have the attitude that I need to see something happen in their lives, but have the attitude God is in control of this and he's the one that's directing their path and they're the person who has to meet God. I don't have to be involved in it. You know? Acts chapter 9. One step closer. Verse 36. Scripture we know. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come unto them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing them the coats and garments which Dorcas had made when she was with them. Well, we know she rose from the dead. She must have had a disappointing conversation on the other side. No, Dorcas, I'm sorry, you can't stay here. I have to send you back. Really? No. But she seems like the kind of person who, gentle and sweet, wouldn't have turned to Peter and said, don't do that again. Okay? Because she knew that in the things that she did, in the giving of coats, in the supporting of the other people around her, she was bringing them one step closer to God, and that she still had a work to do. Maybe there was someone who needed a coat that would only get it through her ministry, and God said, this is what I have for you to do. Not much, but you know, if they don't get that coat, man, the bride, it just won't come together right. You're sending me back to give a coat to somebody? Oh yeah, that's my plan. It's like, wow. I'm sure she wasn't grumpy about that or saying, oh, do I have to? She may have said that. But it's saying, if I can give this one thing to get someone one step closer to God, to bring together the bride and the body of Christ, then that's a wonderful thing. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. From verse 1, and it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalena, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Bringing people one step closer to God. Giving what they had to support the ministry. So there are many different ways, and it's not in the big ways. And that's why that list at in Romans that we read right at the beginning, every one of those people was worthy of a place, a named place in the scripture. Every one of those people had a ministry that brought people one step closer to God in whatever way it was, whether by supporting Paul financially or just helping him or encouraging him, giving him some scrolls, who knows? The Bible is full of these characters that we look at and say, wow, I wish I was like Moses, I wish I was like Elijah, I wish I was like Paul. But there's also the full of the characters that say, you know, could I be like the little maid? Could I be like Peter? Well, let's go back to, because I mean, how many of you have ever heard that scripture read in service before? We don't think of these at the beginning of Romans, or the end of Romans that we read at the beginning. Could I be like Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord? What did they do? I don't know. They labored in the Lord. They brought people closer to Jesus. Okay. Could I be an Urbane? What did Urbane do? I don't know. He was Paul's helper in Christ. How did he help? Doesn't say. Maybe it was he brought him rags to keep his feet warm when he was preaching all night. You know, nice warm rags wrapped around a blanket. Here you go, Paul. So your feet don't get cold. Like, there's my helper in the Lord. I don't know if that's, you know. We all have something that God will put before us, line upon line, very simple, that you'll understand what to do to bring people one step closer to God. And so while he's working on you, on the next thing inside of you, take what he's given you, line upon line, and share it. And let our goal to be to bring people one step closer to God, a little bit nearer to God. And if we could do that to more people, we'd be so much closer to the completion of the work of God. And that's my little message for this evening. I hope it's a blessing to you and an encouragement. Well, Sister Laura, I know you're not used to coming up as the preacher ends, but let's sing something. You know that chorus, I want God's way to be my way as a journey here below? Kind of? Okay. You guys know that one, right? You don't know that one? I want God's way to be my way. Yeah, you know it. It's in here somewhere, I think. Well, it'd be D or F, knowing this church. I want God's way. Someone finds it. Yep. It says F. Probably too high, so let's do it in D. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that a child of God should know. Though the way be steep and rough, if he leads me, that's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day. Amen. Let us bring people one step closer to the Lord Jesus. Want to close in prayer? Josh, you want to close in prayer?
Dear Lord, I just want to come to you this evening, and as we wrap up our time here, Lord, we just pray that you would go with each and every one of us, Lord, that you would fill us, fill our hearts and our minds with you and your thoughts. Let the mind of Christ be in us, Lord, we pray, and that we would be lights to those around us, that we would draw others to you, that you would be lifted up in our lives, Lord. The fruits of the Spirit, Lord, that they would be on display: love, joy, peace, patience. And the Bible says against this there's no laws against those things, Lord. And so let's pray that we would allow you your course in our lives. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Let's sing that chorus again as we dismiss. I want God's way to be my way. As